I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore.
Amen. Can we invite Peter up? He's going to share from God's word with us. I'm going to pray for him and for us as he does that. Lord God, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for who you are making Peter to be. We thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in his life, for his relationship with your Son, and his growing knowledge of you. And we pray that as he shares from this psalm this evening, it would be from the overflow of those relationships with you that he'll speak to us, and that you in turn will speak through him to our own hearts and lives and our faith and love towards you. So we ask for your help as we listen, and we ask for your help for Peter too as he shares with us. Amen.
Thank you so much. The aim for these breakthrough prayer times is that I'll have perhaps a briefer message, and my aim is for just 20 minutes tonight to give us time to really engage with God in prayer. So it's not a downgrading of God's word, which is absolutely crucial to us, but we want to have these times with a very special prayer focus. And this psalm really helps us as we think about our journeys through life and perhaps also our journey in prayer. We are on a journey, and sometimes we go on physical journeys. You will see on the screen a motley collection of people. This was the Yorkshire Three Peaks Crag fundraising event about a year ago today. And so the group from Crag who go to Safani in South Africa to help to pay for the flights and so on did a sponsored Yorkshire Three Peaks, so Ingleborough, Penny Ghent and Wernside. And this is on the third peak. You might just be able to see three fingers being held up by various people. And second from the right, as we look, we have Joel, who is schools worker for Horsforth. And then if you look two further across, you will just see Hannah, one of our new interns, very indistinct, just with glasses on at the back. And if you look more broadly, you will see various other characters from the life of the church who you wouldn't necessarily expect to be on top of a mountain, but who nevertheless made it up. We're on physical journeys. I really like the Yorkshire Three Peaks. If we go on to the next slide, we'll see another group who have done one of the peaks recently. So three peaks at once is just too much. But the aim is to knock them off one at a time. So it's sort of three peaks over a significant period of time. This is on the top of Ingleborough. I was aware that the picture on the left, we could have been anywhere. But so to give some sort of further evidence that we were actually at the very least on top of a mountain, there's a further photo of us coming down. We go on to the next slide and just think about Psalm 121. We see that it's a psalm for someone who is on a journey. They are walking along. And they are singing or speaking as they go. Hymns of praise to God. Prayers for God's help. Psalm 121 is one of the so-called Psalms of Ascent, Psalm 120 through to 134. And Eugene Peterson speaks of these Psalms as like a dog-eared songbook for the pilgrim people of God. God's Old Testament people going up to Jerusalem to worship him and singing as they go. It's a physical journey through difficult terrain, hills and mountains, and steep and rugged paths. But it's also a spiritual journey as they go to worship God. We go on physical journeys and we're on a journey through life, a journey with God and to God. If we know Jesus as Saviour, we know that by the Holy Spirit he is with us as we journey on. And there can be many twists and turns on the way of life. As we follow Jesus, wherever he takes us, wherever he leads us, there are times when the going seems to be easy and it's sunshine and we've got companions with us along the way and everything is great. But there are other times when perhaps it seems like the darkness has fallen and it's windy and it's wet. We might reach a fork in the road. We're not quite sure which way to go. Our companions may have fallen away. And so it's more tough. And we need help. And here the psalmist cries for help and shows us where our help comes from. First thing we see is that we can very easily look to other things. The psalm begins, I lift up my eyes to the hills, where does my help come from? And probably the image here is of a group of people who are on pilgrimage, who are on their way to Jerusalem, and they look up to the hills. And in different times in the life of Israel, there was unfaithfulness as well as faithfulness. And as we read the books of Kings and Chronicles, we see that set out very clearly. And so often on the high places, the people would build altars to other gods, they would set up idols, they might have a group who would come together to worship, not in God's way, but in their own way. And a number of commentators imagine the pilgrims going along the road, looking up, seeing the hills and seeing these high places, seeing these altars to other gods, and perhaps thinking, well, will my help come from there? And it's very easy for us today to look to other things. Put on the screen the cycle of consumerism, which many cultural commentators talk about, and how we want more, we earn more money because that's the way to get more, we buy more stuff, we consume that stuff, but it's a never-ending cycle, and a cycle that never satisfies. Instead of looking to God for help, we look elsewhere. Focusing especially tonight on prayer for young people and young adults. And I think it's true that there are particular temptations if you are looking to follow Jesus or if you're looking to learn about Jesus and you're a young person and a young adult. Temptations that perhaps I and people of my generation didn't have to face. I never ever want to be one of those speakers who sort of rails against youth or anything like that. I heard so much of that when I was growing up. People who were older than me saying, your culture is rubbish and you need to repent. Yeah, that's not what the Christian faith is about at all, because there are good things and there are neutral things and there are negative things in every culture, for every group, for every age. There are challenges and opportunities as well as there are pitfalls. And it's so exciting that we can be Christians in this day and generation. But I do think that life is more complicated now. And with the loss of a Christian worldview in many places, to discover Jesus and to follow Jesus, there are many sharp challenges that people have to face. And it's so easy, whatever generation you're a part of, to look to other things, to be consumed by consumerism, to be mired in materialism, as people say, to look to other things to satisfy and essentially to worship. And yet these things, which may be given by God as his good gifts, are not God and should not take the place of God. And what this psalm shows us so wonderfully is that only God can satisfy. We lift up our eyes to the hills, we look around, where does my help come from? And the answer comes in verse 2, wonderfully loud and clear. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God as creator is very important, because the shrines, the high places, the hills themselves, the mountains, they are all made by God. Everything that the pilgrim can see, everything that the group can see as they look up and look around, God is the creator of all. His creation is good, although it's been marred by our sin and our failure. But nevertheless, it's wonderful. But don't worship the creation, the psalmist says. Don't look to creation. Don't look to created things. Look to God himself. And what we see is that the Lord sees and the Lord keeps. It's very powerful, I think, how it's emphasized that God is watching over us, and it's repeated and it's unmistakable, I think. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. And so the pilgrim is lifting up his or her eyes and casting around and wondering where to look, and there is a sudden realization, God's eye is on us. He is watching over us all the time. He is our helper and our keeper. We see that he's big enough to watch over the huge things, not only in our lives, but in the wider world. There's a slide coming up with the Angel of the North by Anthony Gormley. I took this at Christmas time, and you can see that some people, I think they scaled up, it was a sort of local mountaineering club, and put a Christmas hat on the Angel of the North. This is a significant photo, because it was only there for a couple of days before the authorities came and took it down. The argument was that there was a danger that it would blow into the road and it would impede traffic, because actually it's huge. And you get this extraordinary statue, this extraordinary sculpture with the arms spread wider than wide. And just that sense, maybe, of God's all-encompassing care and keeping. He can take care of the big things, of our lives and of the wider worlds. But he also watches over the small things. So he watches over Israel, the big things, the things of the nation, and he watches over you. But the psalm talks about coming and going. The Lord watches over your coming and your going. Many commentators pick out that in the Hebrew mind, there is this sense of a coming and a going as being such small, insignificant things. When you leave a house, when you go into a house, it's a tiny thing. It's when you arrive for the party or the celebration that is important. It's when you're actually on your way on the journey and when you arrive at journey's end, but coming and going, slipping in and out of the door of our house, those are tiny things, those are insignificant things. But even in those small things, God watches over you. On to apply this now. And first of all, to apply it to us, to you and to me. And to encourage us to look to God for our help. Are there small things in your life that are nagging you and you just feel this is too small to bring to God? Well, God sees and God hears. God is your keeper, and you can bring those things to God. Is there a huge thing that you are facing? Is it something in your life? Is it something in the life of our friends? It just seems so big, and you think, well, even prayer can't shift this. Can God deal with this? The word of this psalm is that he can. He covers the big things and the little things. And of course, the psalmist knew, in line like, he will not let your foot slip. It doesn't mean that we will never sprain an ankle. It doesn't mean that we will never get a physical injury. It never means that we will go into darkness and trouble, because the pilgrims, as they walked along, would have known trouble aplenty. They would have gone into difficult places. There would have been robbers. There would have been issues with food and water. The darkness would have come. The psalmist knows that there are going to be difficulties, but the psalmist also knows that God is with us and that his presence, his transforming grace, brings peace and healing and strength. If you're facing something big, if you're facing something small, look to God and know his care and keeping. And also the challenge not to look to the hills for our ultimate help. We think of idols as things of wood and stone, things that were set up in days of old. But actually, consumerism can be an idol. And is an idol to so many people. It takes the place of God. Materialism takes the place of God. Things that are good. One of the things I challenged myself, particularly when I had my Crystal Palace season ticket, is sport taking the place of God? Because Joe and I would follow Palace home and often away, and it was really exciting, and you used to get so excited after the matches, not all the time watching Palace, but it made the high points even sweeter. And it's actually a good thing just to think, you know, I'm getting excited about this. Christian Benteke has scored at last. Am I as excited about the things of God? Is God central? Is God at the heart of my life? Things that are good, when they become gods, become idols. Don't look to the hills. Look to God, who is our help. And we need to pray the same for others who are on the journey. So we apply this to ourselves, we're encouraged, we're challenged. And tonight as we pray for others on the journey that they would look to God who alone satisfies, the God who reveals himself in Jesus Christ by the Spirit, who loves us, who calls us to follow, who calls us to a life of adventure, a glorious journey of discipleship. We are to pray for others what we desire for ourselves. One of the things that I used to do at Spurgeon's College at the beginning of my spirituality module is that I used to draw out a pathway and encourage people to write down 10 things that had been significant in their lives up to this point, and then 2 things that they thought that God was leading them into. It's a good thing to do. It's a good exercise just to reflect back on our lives and to examine what God is doing in us and how he is leading us here and now. As I was reflecting on this, I was thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful if there are many, many, many young people and young adults who, when they do an exercise like that, draw out a pathway in 10 years' time or 20 years' time, something to do with South Parade is significant in their journey. Maybe a baptism at one of our gatherings. Maybe here is the place where discipleship is learned. Maybe through schools work that we support, it was through these people that I first heard and experienced the Christian message. Maybe the opportunity to serve, the opportunity to grow, the opportunity to have some misconceptions about the Christian faith broken down, whatever it may be, wouldn't it be great if there were so many young people whom God was working in and who could say, God in his grace and mercy used those people to lead me forward. That's a good thing to work for and a good thing to pray for this evening. Let's pause for a moment together and just want to encourage us to reflect on God's words tonight before we sing once more and then hand back to Nathan. Let's keep silence together for a moment. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Lord, we pray that you would help us to look to you as we journey through life. Thank you that you alone, the one God who reveals himself in Jesus by the Spirit, that you alone are the one who can satisfy and can help. Lord, we pray that where there are idols in our lives, we would go to the high places and we would tear them down and we would look to you alone. And Lord, tonight we pray that as we really come to you in prayer and as we pray for the June project, as we pray for different things across the life of the church to do with the kingdom of God, Lord, all of these things we pray that you would lead us and guide us. Lord, what we desire for ourselves, help us to desire for others. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Going to sing a song now, In My Life, Lord. And the encouragement in this lovely older chorus, just to put Jesus at the center, to say, there's going to be no idols in my life. God is going to be at the heart, and I am going to serve him as Lord. I want to invite you to stand, if you're able, as we use these words just to make that recommitment to our Lord.